Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
He's a member of parliament, and he has been a figure on the political scene, very outspoken, and always standing up for Islam and the Deen, and the Ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Honorable Ahmed Mansour Imam Sheikh, are you on the line?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, indeed, from a very cold city this morning.
A very cold Durban.
Yes, I left last night a very wet Durban, but I can assure you Cape Town is extremely cold this morning.
Oh, you're in Cape Town now. You're in Cape Town now.
Yes, indeed.
Ah, and Cape Town. Very interesting things going on there. Do you think the DA is going to hold on, or is Palestine going to cost them?
I think the DA is in trouble in the Western Cape, not only on the issues of Palestine, but various other issues. If you saw the latest report, City of Cape Town is one of the five top municipalities in the country where levels of corruption is extremely high.
Oh, really?
So, yes, indeed. That's the latest Auditor General's report in any case. And it's something that I've raised repeatedly, that it's like two continents in one province, one for the rich and affluent communities and other for the poor and vulnerable communities. So they have, to a very large extent, neglected the vulnerable communities in the Western Cape. And more importantly, if we remember that even the urban settlement development grants that were initiated by national government for people that migrate from one province to the other provinces and things, and from rural areas to the urban areas, they have failed to spend that urban settlement and running into billions of rands. And if you look at the number of people that are now homeless in Cape Town, it's quite shocking. Go right into the CBD and look at what it is looking right outside Parliament, around the vicinity of Parliament. And you'll find that more and more homeless people around the entire parade area.
It sounds like Washington, D.C.
Look on the bridges, all over.
Johannesburg as well.
And yet there's a simple solution to it, But remember, if you don't deal with the issue, my brother, of economic growth and job creation in South Africa, then you're going to sit with this ticking time bomb that is going to explode at some stage. You have over 1 million people being born in this country every year. But what does it mean for those 1 million people when you are only going to be accommodating 2 or 3 or maximum 400,000 people into the job markets and things? So it simply means that it's getting progressively worse year in and year out. If 91,000 children gave birth to children last year, what is the message you are giving out there? Is it about the social grants, child support grants? How long can a government sustain itself, my brother, on handouts and handouts and handouts? Can we not have a more productive society so people can get their dignity by earning? So the message, I think, is to government is clear, but they do not want to, accept some of the weaknesses. And the same thing goes with the Western Cape government. You know, they talk about their successes. People don't judge you just on your successes. They unfortunately judge you on your failures and your weakness.
And they're very good at finding those, eh?
Yes.
They're very good at finding your weaknesses and seeing the problems you make. I'm sure you as a politician must have experienced that. You know, you work hard, and people only see your failings.
Well, I must tell you this, that, as the Allied Movement for Change, in my experience in Parliament for the period of time that I've been there and at council level, being on the public accounts and things, we have the solutions to a lot of these problems. Some are short-term solutions, some medium and other long-term. You know, the housing crisis is a simple solution. You know, if each city's got over 500,000 people on the waiting list, yet there is land available in their own local municipalities, and it's just standing there. Nobody's doing anything. You can provide every... If you look at the unequal society that from the time of apartheid and the unequal society that we've had, and that continued immediately after the democratic election. Nothing has changed. The economy is still in the hands of a few people. But what stops a government from at least addressing the inequality and saying, right, we've come from a very bad background. You know, we were marginalized, victimized, neglected. We were forced out of our homes and things. Now let's just give people their dignity, their land back for housing. Don't worry about when you'll give them the water, sanitation, electricity. If you remember, we grew up without the electricity and things, but we survived. But over a period of time, you can give 1,000 in that municipality this year, another 1,000 next year. But give them that land, subdivide the land that's available and give it to them. You know, we can do, you've got to take development to the rural areas. If you don't do that, what are you doing, my brother? The same migration system that you had during the days of apartheid, where family members, breadwinners, will leave their homes, go back home once a year, go and work in other provinces and things like that in order to get an income and only see their families. You're creating that dysfunctional society. That is what we are doing. But what stops us from taking development to the rural areas? Try and convert every rural town or municipality into at least a semi-urban. Get manufacturing there. Give them incentives there. Look at Germany. BMW, the municipality, the region, invested in BMW, gets a return every month or every year and takes that return and develops it to region. But if you look at Durban, you've got Toyota, you've got engine refinery, you've had the Sapre, Mondi, big industries. But why can the municipality not co-own with this public-private partnership so that you can develop your people on the ground? I can tell you we're sitting on a ticking time bomb. People, there's going to be a civil unrest at some time. People can't live the way they. It's continuing, unabated. Nothing is being done about it.
That's funny. My brother was saying exactly the same thing to me last night.
Yes.
And but he's like a white guy from Cape Town. You know, very much. You know, very much
but
on the other side.
You know what is worse, my brother?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what is worse? Let me give you. You know, local government is the heartbeat of the delivery of services. That is. You have to deliver. Now, if we break it down and look at the amount of money that we allocate to local government, it's not enough, number one. But where does that revenue come from? It only comes from through the taxpayers and things, okay, from national government. What is local government doing to generate its own income? Nothing. They're just sitting there in the comfort zone on the handouts from national government, number one. And many people complain we're not giving enough, and rightfully so. However, what they're not talking about is the percentage of that money, 60 to 70% that's going on administration, you know, cost of employee, all those things. So when you take that away, and then if you take the issue of the high levels of corruption with what little is left, where you don't get value for money, you're paying 10 times more or 5 times more than the value of that goods. A good example is, why do you think there's no water services in all these local municipalities and they're relying on water tankers? Why wouldn't they deal with their water pipelines and things?
Because the local politicians own the tankers. Yeah.
There we are. There we are. That's the problem.
But, you know, that was exactly what the IFP and the chiefs were doing during apartheid. Well, in those days, they only had like community tap, but the access to that community tap, you had to come and you had to give your loyalty to the chief.
And they're making money with the water tankers. That's why they will never move away from that.
Yeah. And so now the ANC is starting to do to KwaZulu-Natal what the IFP were doing. And when the ANC came in 1994, the first thing they started doing was getting all those services done, all the clinics built, and taking that power away from the local chiefs. Now it seems that they're giving them all back.
But tell me, my brother, where do you go from here with that? Because the very same communities that you and I are talking about that are so vulnerable today, 30 years into democracy, where very little or nothing has changed, they go back and support these very same organizations in full view of them. Corruption is taking place at such a high level, but they will do nothing about it.
I think black people...
Nothing. They go back and support the very same people in the same municipalities. Nobody even picks up. Look at the amount of people that are talking about corruption at a national level, right? But is there anybody talking about the corruption at those local levels from the people in the local communities? How many people are going to the municipalities and demanding, we want to know, this is our money, this is our area.
They complain about the central government because there is still some competence in central government. Most competence in local government is almost non-existent nowadays.
It's non-existent. 18 out of 257 municipalities got a clean audit. But the very same people that are governing will attack the others, but all doing exactly the same thing. If you look at the Western Cape, that corruption in that housing thing, with the MMC, it's no longer running into 100 or somewhat million. It's now gone into billions. Over 1.5 billion, actually. And they make it look like there's no corruption there. So I want to say that unless you close those gaps, now as the allied movement for change, we know where the problem is. We've given the solution. The question is, why don't they want to take the solution? Because political parties will not be able to sustain themselves. Where do you think all this money is coming for this election? So where do you think it's coming? Where do you think they can put up all these big posters and pull up banners and all these things? It's coming from the very same money that taxpayers are paying. And because they cater deployments, all the parties do the same. They put their own people in there, their own officials there, and that's where the corruption. So the problem is much bigger than we think if you want to deal with it. I've raised it over 50 times. I've given them the solutions. They don't want to consider it. The only way is to have the right kind of committed people. And I want to say again, unless you have those Islamic ethos, principles, morals, and values, you're not going to change it. You're not going to change it.
How do we get that change?
Now, identifying the right kind of people from a very young age, groom them up to be the leaders of tomorrow, place them in these strategic positions. Okay, it's the only way. Did you notice something, my brother? Look at how easily the youth of today, and I continuously hear youth, people saying we need more youth in parliament, there's people there that are sleeping, this and that. Tell me, have a lot of our youth that are so easily manipulated today, are they really fit for purpose to be able to go to that level of government and perform exceptionally well? They are so easy. Look at what's happening at the universities.
Well, you know
the student accommodations that you have. Did you know that the student commands, even of the EFF, that has come out open and clear? They make demands, you'll be shocked, on the owners and the landlords. And they threaten them that if they don't give them a percentage, they will shut it down. There'll be nobody living in those student accommodations. This is the influence that they have. And you give them 50 and they go that side, another one give them 100 and tomorrow they go back there. This is the game that they play. They so easily manipulated, and yet we would think with the quality of education, even though I have a question mark over that, but, you know, that they will at least apply their minds. No, it's not happening.
I've got a poster sent here to me. It says there's different DAs in South Africa. The first DA is the DA. The second DA is Action SA. The third DA is Rise Mzansi. The fourth DA is Bosasa, Build One South Africa. And the fourth DA is the IFP. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. But let me tell you the irony of all this. I was at the signing in ceremony of the IEC, on Thursday. And I can tell you there were four NFPs with different parties. I have created the Allied Movement for Change. And of course, I know what I've been. I think it was a nightmare for me in the time that, even though I'm a founding member, being the only Indian in a predominantly black party, the racism was a serious problem. You know, I've raised concerns about corruption, about progress, you know, but it meant nothing. But let me tell you, then there was a person who left the NFP and created APEMO, and he is the mayor of Okashlamba. He came there with his party, a breakaway from the NFP as well. And then you had ABC, who came to the NFP, wanted to be the deputy president, could not get that. He left and went and created ABC. You understand? So, you know, there were four in all. In fact, the fifth one did not pitch up. I think he didn't make it to contest. But you can see how the people are breaking away. Some, of course, for the right reasons. But the question asking ourselves, is this electoral system going to work, really? Or do you think we should rather go to constituency base, let people elect their leaders and do away with these political parties?
Some people are saying that the success of this outcome of this election is going to be determined by who the ANC partners up to. Is the ANC going to partner up with the DA or the EFF?
Now that is the question we need to ask. There are conflicting evidence that's unfolding, that the EFF is making statement, and you heard what the EFF said yesterday, that they will consider working with the ANC if the, and only if the ANC makes Floyd Shivambu, the masterminds behind the VBS scandal, the Minister of Finance. How appropriate. How do you like that one, my brother? You can't get a better one than that.
Well,
but they've also, sorry?
It's certainly, I mean, you know, they would want a position for Floyd, but it's a kind of, I think it's a pre-election kind of statement to make. If it comes down to you want to come into real seats of power, you can drop a few of your demands.
Ask you, Sam, why is it okay for other political parties to have people who've got serious allegations and matters before the court and things, and you do nothing about it? But when there's anybody else, then they must be removed. They must be have a vote of no confidence. Why can't we not be consistent for everybody?
That's what I
now.
Like
that's
to
the
know.
First thing. But then, if you saw the other day, they were with the MK. You know, so what are you going to expect come that? So I can tell you that's a very dangerous combination for South Africa. Now the question is the ANC-DA, and there are talks that there are between the ANC and the DA as well. There's no doubt about it. Now let's look at what you said about the five parties, which are also, you can refer to them as DAs. Tell me, how do you expect them to work together? Action SA and the DA, and X and DA and Musi Maimane's party, Bosan, they don't see eye to eye at all. So who's going to be the president from there? You think John Steenhuisen is going to get Herman Mashaba to be the president or vice versa?
Herman Mashaba,
I've attended
would not,
those meetings.
I can't see that happening. I can't see Herman going back to the DA.
Well, I attended 10, 12 out of their first meetings. Every time they went one step forward, they went five steps backwards. They were not able to see eye to eye in any of those meetings, I can tell you. They couldn't. Action SA and DA. And the PA, on the issue of the PA as well. But so I must tell you that South Africa is sitting at a crossroads. And that is why I say to people, look deeper into political parties for people that have got integrity, that are committed to serving our interests. Whether it's our religious freedom, serving the Ummah, serving the broader communities, you know, but with the vision to create a better society for everybody. But otherwise, I can tell you, you've got that group of the Zionist group that are funded. You've seen now the issue of that intelligence report.
Yes.
What is happening?
We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
We need to talk about that.
We don't have much time, I see. Yes.
Yeah, we still got a few minutes. We can still do it.
Yeah.
After a long and bruising court battle that ended with independent media winning the case against the state security agency, which sought to prevent the publication of the contents of one of their secret reports, Independent newspapers can reveal part one of the report, which details the U.S. and some ANC leaders' involvement in collecting intelligence on ANC party dynamics. On Friday, the Supreme Court of Appeal overturned a high court ruling preventing independent newspapers from publishing a report dated November 5, 2020, entitled Top Secret, U.S. Interest in ANC Party Dynamics, and commissioned by the U.S. intelligence operating at the country's offices in Pretoria. The report reveals that the National U.S. Security Agency has mandated U.S. intelligence formations to identify and assess capabilities, activities, and intentions of state and non-state entities to develop an understanding of the environment and warn on future development. Basically, ANC officials or ANC members were participating with the American embassy here in South Africa to spy on the ANC. Basically, that's what they're saying.
Well, you know, if you look at the action that was taken against the independent media, the Survey Group of companies,
yes,
by the five major banks in the country, and they had no protection, not even from the Minister of Finance, it clearly indicates what a hopeless situation we are as a government. Now, the issue of intelligence, I've raised this many occasions, the great risk that we are posed within South Africa as a result of the interference, the Israeli intelligence, the United States intelligence as to what is going on. I'm not surprised at the fact that ANC members, because that is why it goes back where, you know, to the point I was trying to make. Unless you have credible leaders, and perhaps maybe it's time to look at doing away with political party system, you can see how easily people are manipulated and bought off from the ANC, an organization that fought alongside, you know, many others, the Natal Indian Congress, and Transvaal Indian, all aside there to try and liberate us. Look at how they are divided today, and how easily that principled ethics and values thrown out of the window. Now, the United States, we know, wherever they are, in mayhem all over the world, this is how they infiltrate governments. They infiltrate them through your own people. And there they succeed. They've gone to the North Gauteng High Court to stop this, and they succeeded. Foolish enough,
yes,
in my view. Sorry, I have to say, the judge was, okay, he couldn't see importance of what was happening, because if you were doing it into the ANC, how much more you are doing it to the country at large.
Exactly.
And the ANC being the ruling party. However, I'm glad that the Supreme Court of Appeal has granted in favor of it. Remember, independent is the one where the first one, independent media, that released and exposed the Palapala scandal as well. The Eskom scandal. It's the independent investigators that have come up with all those things. And that is why they are the target. So in this case, it clearly now I feel vindicated by the fact that I've always been raising publicly and in parliament the issue of the Israelis and the United States intelligence, the cyber security in South Africa that is at great risk as well. And in fact, I've just got some communication from some very concerning people from different media houses asking me to raise the risk that they are sitting with, because they all believe they have been compromised or infiltrated through the social media and many other platforms by intelligence outside the country. While we are doing that, the minister here is trying to, through the new Intelligence General Laws Amendment Bill, trying to take more power rather than letting the Inspector General appoint and take people in South Africa or appoint people into positions. The minister wants to take away that right, which means it compromises the independence of the structure. Be reporting to somebody and they want to decide who you put in there, who you employ and whatever it is. No, you've got to be independent. And that's the problem with the bill that's actually behind, that's before the House at this stage. But again, I want to say, we have a serious situation in the country. Our intelligence is at an all-time low. If you saw what happened in the 2021 unrest, intelligence was nowhere to be found. They didn't pick it up. But look at what the United States picked up. They picked up what happened in Russia the other day. They picked it up a year ago.
Yes.
Why? Because they perhaps have something to do with it.
Yeah.
But well, South Africa is fast asleep.
And it does help you to gather intelligence if the intelligence is all about yourself, you know.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, the crocus.
So we know these things. Mm. But what are we doing about it? Now, you know what is the sad thing about this, my brother? The entire African continent is facing the same situation. Corruption, weaknesses, collusion with the outside world. And that is why the African continent has never progressed and can't progress.
Mm.
With all the wealth of the world, did you know the rest of the world survive without Africa? But Africa can't survive without them through their own foolishness, because they are dependent and basically go begging to these people despite the fact that they've been blessed with all the wealth in the world.
Mm.
When can Africa really? I remember I've been the chairperson of in the SADC parliament, all the Southern African countries.
Yes. Hello?
And I've raised again and again about how we can become self-sufficient. Mm. I spoke about creating a pharmaceutical industry in the SADC region, where every SADC country could become a director there and produce your own. And I even went one step further and identified people from India, because they are experts in the pharmaceutical, which were willing to come there and put up a pharmaceutical industry. You understand, so that they can have medication much cheaper to give their people on the ground and become self-sufficient, don't depend on anybody else.
Onto our AIDS drugs, they built with a partnership between South Africa, India, and Brazilian firms.
Yes.
That was one example.
You know, the point number, why cannot Africa, you've got the 44% of the most arable land in the world. You've got all the minerals. You've got beautiful climate. You've got the skills. You've got it all, but you control nothing. When will they lead? When will they lead from the front and identify lead? I don't really lead.
When the problem
we have, leaders want to take the power.
When we sort out the mobilization issue, we really need to discuss more in depth your idea about getting rid of political parties. I also have some ideas on this, Mansoor. Inshallah, we can speak about that next week. But right now, for today, we've run out of time.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, inshallah, we will discuss it next week. Yeah.
Inshallah.
But like you're going to the elections, I want to say many people are making a lot of promises and commitments. I think people need to in mind and make the right decisions.
Yes. Well, maybe we can help people make up their minds before the 29th of May. And hopefully people will be making the right choice. Just exactly what that choice is going to be, I can't really say. But Mansoor, Imam, Jazakallah for joining us. And we can only say to the listeners, we wish you a pleasant day fasting ahead. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.